Hello everyone, I'm Memo Esparza. I'm from Mexico. Thanks a lot for having me here today, speaking at FOSDEM about open a little bit about open design. I lead design at opencollective.com, and so we're starting a little project focused specifically on design. So it was really exciting for me to meet the opportunity to be here today and share a little bit about the work, the mindset that we have at Open Collective Design, and some of the work we do, some of the ideas we try to share to with everyone. So yeah, let's get started. I will like to start a little bit with posting some questions about the actual situation of design, and how we see that the design world now is changing. I want to start with the reflection that right now design practice is kind of ruled by lots of money, exclusivity, and silo mentality. Just to build up a little bit on that. I mean, the practice of design is usually ruled by a transaction, and that transaction gives the owner exclusivity of the creation. And usually, people do not share like the secret formula. That's why I mentioned silo mentality here, because it's like you design a solution and in the our current rules, that solution is yours to keep, and we care deeply about intellectual property, and usually that causes that the information do not actually get through and create the impact that can create out there. So posting some questions about why design now it's sorry, what design now has such higher barriers, and why does top-notch creative knowledge has higher barriers, and a couple of questions around that, like why ego-driven design is not useful for implementing design more easily in organizations and initiatives. Like ego-driven design, I'm talking about this. We create this archetype of the designer, of the creator, and we are teaching school that we have a certain skill that no one else can have, and we tell others that they are not creative enough to. For example, starting to criticize other designs, or to give opinions, etc. And is design education only for designers? And who can learn design? So I just wanted to leave those questions a little bit to think about that, and I think why things are like this right now. Before we move on, I wanted to be clear on what we talk about open design, or what we are referring to when we talk about open design, which is a little bit different from open source design, because open source design is design working in the open source industry, like designing for open source projects. And what we meant about open design is a broader sense of considering the design as an open process in all of its forms. Some people that think that design is just about making something look prettier, but we actually design all kinds of stuff around us. We design communication channels, we design economic systems, we design a lot of stuff that doesn't have to do with anything with with graphic shapes and colors, etc. So, what I meant by open design is that broader sense of one, treating design as a process and being open about that process. So, anything that it is that you're designing, you share it with others, you gather feedback, and you learn from others, from others' perspectives. So, oh, sorry about that noisy helicopter passing by. Is design education only for designers? Yeah, that is another question that I wanted to raise up today. Because for the people that study design in a university or in an education institution, it's like it's the education it's around turning yourself into a productive element in the market, you know, by creating some other stuff that people like and want to buy. So that's usually what's going on in the education world in design. And we have met, you know, a ton of people that are self-taught in design. And since they don't have this bias, they usually or they usually design more humane tools and with no with no bias about the market or the expectations of the product or anything like that. So we wanted to welcome all of these new designers. We believe that design is something that all of us can do. Hence, we can be at least for a brief moment designer ourselves. So we wanted the first thing that we wanted to do is to change that mindset in the, in people, and yeah, to start treating design as a more open way, more approachable way to solve problems for everyone. And we want to, yeah, to change the mindset to people take design as a problem-solving process that they can use in their everyday life. So for that, just I mean, in this presentation, which is really short, I just wanted to give you some insights, inspirations, and tools that can help folks out there to kickstart their design experience. So a couple of ideas for non-designers to start using design as a process in your daily work. Draw mind maps, explain your ideas like with arrows and text boxes and like little characters, stuff like that. First, for yourself, I think it's much more easy to visualize an idea or a problem if you take the time to pass it from your head to your eyes and then your hand. It gives you a whole new level of understanding of the problem. So try that when you're solving a complex problem and you'll see a difference. Try to explain your ideas visually, then that process becomes like an outward process. First, you do it for yourself to get a better understanding of the problem, and then you it's also a great tool to explain your ideas and to communicate with others. So as you do that, tell stories when explaining something. Try to characterize your problems to give them some personality traits. Stuff like that really helps to communicate some technical issues or some ideas to others. And also sketch. And that's I think that's a really simple thing, but it's also a really tough one for people that are usually shy about their their drawing skills. But let's move on and see if some of the stuff that we will see might help. So yeah, about that, we always hear the question, am I good enough to communicate my ideas graphically? I wanted to put an example that I was inspired by when studying design. This person here is Okisato. He is the head of design of a really great Japanese design firm, which is called, sorry, Nendo, with an N, Nendo. And his drawings aren't actually, really fancy and with a lot of details, but they are really meaningful. And if you're interested in that, I suggest you to look up into some videos about him talking about his process, because he says that he's actually a really crappy drawer and a crappy artist. But he cares deeply about the meaning of every line he does. So don't be, the moral behind this is don't be ashamed to just, communicate your ideas with really simple drawings and try to focus on the meaning of those drawings, even if it's just lines and little circles and stuff like that. Everything that we've talked so far, it's about praising the design as a process. I mean, like thinking about your ideas, putting those ideas in paper, all of that stuff is designing, and not just a product after you're done. So let's take this as a new, let's say, mantras. So design is a process, and the point of doing it with others is that you can learn from others and learn from yourself doing that. So yeah, that's the really strong message here, to treat design as a process and to take that process or take that journey with others, because it's a really enriching experience. Yeah, let's learn together. That's the call to action that I want to leave you guys today. So yeah, just sharing some resources, readings, and tools that I think you people might enjoy, and in your free time you can get an introspective session and think about being more creative yourself. So I hope that some of this stuff help you guys. This is a book that I think is published by the Harvard Press. It's really about changing your communicative mindset reading a great graphic novel. It has some great storytelling component, and as you read it, like in the middle of the book, you start realizing that it's actually some sort of technical book. So it's really cool to get those kinds of insights in a really lightweight way, and really enjoying the process, which is design is all about, in my opinion. Another reference is the work of a guy named Jack Butcher, that's called Visualize Value, which is like really simple graphic representations of some concepts using like really easy diagrams, and it's charged with meaning and it has some great content. So I totally Totally suggest you guys to look up to that. Now, about some tools that I want to recommend to create color palettes. We can use this tool right here, Palettable, to create color palettes, and it's run by thanks to the insights of millions of designers. And also a really cool tool about color, it's called ColorMine. It's a color scheme generator that uses deep learning, so you can feed the algorithm with images, with URLs and other stuff. Really cool. And to add some drawing insight, we all know that these products now are getting noticed out there, like Miro or Miro and Mural, which is to create some stuff in a whiteboard and share it with others. So some people working online are usually like, yeah, but how I'm going to draw stuff, and even if it's like simple stuff, this tool can help them because it can turn like a really crappy drawing in a icon or a graphic. So if you're working with Zoom and you're having a presentation or a discussion and you're using a whiteboard and you want to throw up some ideas, it can get really useful because it's really fast to use. And something that I wanted to share with you all, it's a brand strategy framework that we use, and it's we created it to be open source, so we wanted to share with you guys. Go to that link that appears here in the screen, bit.ly/openisbetter. And you can use it for your own projects. It's a tool specialized in branding, so it can be really helpful for you to run workshops, branding workshops with others, and use it as a whiteboard and put some stuff in there. I'm sure you're getting a lot of fun using it and also great results. So yeah, that's it for today. These are my details. And so if you have something to say or something resonated with you, please do not hesitate to reach me up to re reach up, and I'll be tremendously happy to hear about new thoughts. And we have a couple of projects starting soon, so if you want to know more about it, don't hesitate to reach out. Thank you very much. That'll be all for today, and thank you for everything. See you next.